In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, the Apostle exhorts us today that we receive not the grace of God in vain. And the Gospels speak of this grace of God. The first Gospel about the talents is about God's grace being given to men so that we may be fruitful, so that we may become like God, so that we may participate in His economy, so that we may have become perfected and therefore able to know Him, to be able to gaze at Him without shame but with joy. Yes, a talent is the grace of God given to us so that we may do good works, so that we may become good, all good, from the inside out, so that we would know He who is good. You can't know Him without becoming like Him. And the talents are His gift to us, His grace, so that we can become good and be able to know good. Now this parable, and actually the second gospel as well, are about judgment. That there will be a judgment. Absolutely. This world kind of puts us to sleep. We go from day to day and do things. But this is not the reason why we are here. The things we do here and there. The reason why we are here is so that we may trade the talent and become good. So that we may know our Lord. Now, in the parable, the Lord is the man traveling into a far country. When a man travels to a far country, it takes a while, but he will come back. When he comes back is the judgment, is the end of all things, the beginning of the new age, the everlasting age. So when he goes into the far country, just beforehand, he gives his grace to all of us, his talents. To some he gives five, to some two, another one, perhaps to another 10 or 7. The Lord gives his grace as he wishes, according to his providence. Not everyone has the same ability. Not everyone can become perfected in this life. Some of the saints did, but most didn't. Not in this life they didn't become perfected. Some did. Some of us will struggle with a particular sin all of our life and never really conquer it. Others will be able to eradicate most of our passions, if not all of them. This is all by God's grace. It's by His providence. So He gives His grace, not in equal measure. He gives it to people according to their need and according to His will, which we cannot understand or fathom. We can only know that He gives us all enough grace so that we may accomplish all things. Now, regardless of how well we do on the earth, if our desire is to be a Christian, to trade with the talent and gain more talents, then the marvelous thing is that when the Lord comes back from His journey and He reckons with us, no matter how many talents we began with and how many talents we end up with, as long as it's more than we began, don't lose talents. Don't lose the grace of God. The Lord will say the same thing to each of us. Did you notice that? That's the most marvelous thing, I think, in this parable that always strikes me. He gives one 5 talents, and the man doubles it. 10 talents is quite a sum. He gives another 2, and he doubles it in 4 talents. Well, 4 talents isn't even as much as the first one started out with. And what does he say to both of them? He says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. This should be very good news for us. Perhaps we cannot trade 5 talents and make 10. But I think we can trade 2 to make 4. Perhaps we cannot become perfected in this life. But we can struggle with every breath we take to become perfected. And the Lord will see this as perfection. What a marvelous thing. What an amazing thing. The Lord only wants us to trade, to take His grace and to obtain more grace through becoming like Him. Now, don't misunderstand. We certainly cannot manufacture any grace. The Lord gives more to us as He sees that we are able to hold the grace. Think of us as a vessel that expands. And as the vessel expands, then the Lord can pour more grace into it. But it makes no sense to pour grace up to the brim so that it falls out and is of no use to us or to others. The Lord doesn't want any of His gift to go to be ignored or to be trampled underfoot. So, if we struggle, the Lord gives us more grace. Now, perhaps we don't become completely holy. Perhaps we still have many things that are wrong with us. I tell you, the Lord tells us right here. The good news is, if we have struggled, He will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. What marvelous news this is. This is stupendous. As long as we struggle, as long as we desire, the Lord will count it to us as righteousness. This kind of thing keeps me going. Because I'm so far from perfection. And yet I try to tell others about it. But the Lord will count righteousness to me as long as I continue to struggle, as long as I desire, as long as I trade with the talent. Indeed, we are responsible for trading with this talent. Now, the wicked servant who had only 1 talent did us a good service because he proclaimed to us our responsibilities. Many times this kind of thing happens, where the Lord, through the mouth or through the agency of someone evil, brings about something good. And it is good to know this, what this evil servant has said. He spoke truly. He spoke the truth. Because when he said that the Lord reaps where he has not sown and gathers where he has not winnowed, that's true. What he's saying there is that, or what the meaning of what he's saying, he actually didn't. The wicked servant didn't understand what he was saying. The meaning is this. The Lord gives us grace, and he expects us to participate in his economy, that is, his action in the world. And he expects us to bear fruit. The Lord will not create this fruit. We must. Now, the Lord provides the grace. He provides the water. He provides the nutrients. But we must grow. It is our responsibility to conquer our passions. It is our responsibility to love our brother. It is our responsibility to show compassion to someone in need. It is our responsibility to be a light shining on a candlestand, not under a bushel. What good does it do under a bushel? Not only does it do no good whatsoever to the world, it's to our damnation if we do not shine in the world. Because the Lord requires it of us. This wicked servant shows this clearly. The Lord will reap where He has not winnowed. He's already planted the seed in us. He expects us to distribute it to places where He has not yet distributed it. We have a responsibility. This is the purpose of our life. To take in the grace of God and then to give it away. And it is like the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. No matter how much is given away, it never, ever is exhausted. Or it's like the cruse of oil that never went away during the famine. That is what grace is like. You can't give it all away. As soon as you give it by loving your brother, by struggling against a passion, by not slandering someone, by returning good for evil, as soon as you make that expenditure of grace, it is more grace flows and you are left richer in grace, not poorer. This is what trading in the talent means. The struggling in the Christian life. The desiring to do well. To become pure. It's the whole reason why we're alive. So that we can become pure. Because we won't know God who is pure. Unless we become pure ourselves. And the talent is the grace God gives so that we can become holy. And what a wonderful thing that He will say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," if we only trade. Now, it's important to trade in this talent and to increase it. Absolutely, positively, you cannot take your talent and bury it in the ground. This burying in the ground is, or we don't grow in the grace of God. A Christian should always be growing. We consider it very strange when a child stops growing, because that's not normal and that's not natural. It is the same thing with a Christian. A Christian must ever be increasing, must ever be sowing more seed, must ever be increasing in grace, must ever be trading in the talents. If you cease to do this, even if you go to church and even if you still say your prayers and everything else, you can still cease to do this by having a vendetta, by hating someone, by refusing to struggle against a sin because it's too pleasurable to you, or maybe you're too addicted to it and you just don't want to give it up. In that case, you're burying the talent in the ground. And we know what happened to the man who buried the talent in the ground. After the Lord used him as a prophet, He cast him into outer darkness. This outer darkness is where we will have regret but be able to do nothing about it. That's what hell is, brothers and sisters. Sorrow without being able to make amends. Shame without ever becoming glad again. That's what hell is. We bring it upon ourselves. The Lord gives us everything we need. He gives us His talents. And He will come back and reckon with us. And you know what His criterion is? It's a very simple one. I've told you about it before. He's given us His talents, His grace, so that we can become like Him. So, in the judgment, He will look at us. And He will see whether or not He sees Himself. If He sees Himself, then He will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But if He doesn't see Himself reflected back, then He will say, "I don't know you. I gave you everything you needed. And you abandoned it. You didn't consider it important. You had other things to do. Other priorities. Other opinions. You were a fool." Let us not be this kind of person. The Lord has given us everything we need. Let's take this talent, let's trade. With God's grace, let us have more grace. With the perfection that God has started in us, let us become more perfected. Let us complete the good work that God has begun in us. God will help us. This is the purpose of our life, brothers and sisters. Now, on the second gospel, the Lord is saying, watch, because you don't know when the Lord comes. We don't know when the Lord comes back to ask for a reckoning with the grace that He's given us. It could be today. For some of us, for one of us, a few of us, it could be today. For the entire world, it could be today or tomorrow. The Lord has not told us when. None of us knows when we're going to die. And none of us knows when the Lord will come. All we know is the Lord has given us everything we need. He's given us His grace. And He has promised and shown to be good at keeping His promises with all the saints. That if we struggle to exchange His talent, to trade in it, He will give us more. And it will never end. I think in a dark way, this is pointed to that the grace is never ending with the man with the 10 talents, because he was given another one. At the judgment, I think all of us will be given that. That is, if we are called good and faithful servants, He will make us ruler over many things. And you know the best thing to be ruler over? Not a kingdom, not a city, not land, ourselves. To be able to rule ourselves, to have complete control, to be completely at peace, to be complete masters of our mood, of our temperament, of our purity. This is what the Lord will make us rulers over. And it will never end. This perfection will continue. Because, of course, we can never become God. But we can become more like God eternally. Brothers and sisters, you've all been given talents. You've all been given the grace of God. Use it. You must use it. It is required of you. It defines whether or not you're a Christian. If you use the grace of God to become more holy, then indeed you will become holy, and the Lord will look at you in the last day, in the judgment, and He will say, I recognize you. I see myself in you. Now don't worry so much if you have sins. Worry if you are not struggling. Worry if you are not ascending and getting a little bit better. That you should worry about quite a bit. But as far as whether or not you're perfected now, the Lord is the one who provides the perfection. We must provide the effort. And He will see our effort. And just like the widow who had only 2 mites, He will make those 2 mites to be all of our living, to change us completely. What a wonderful thing it is to be a Christian. What a magnificent thing. We're weak. Our feet are of clay. There's so little we can do. And yet, we can become perfect. No matter how small our efforts are, if they are according to our heart, the Lord will see them as all that is necessary So don't be concerned so much. If you have sins, be concerned if you're not sorry. Be concerned if you're not struggling. Trade in the talents. Because there will come a time. And it will be a surprise to everyone. Let it be a good surprise when the Lord says, I know that you struggled in your life. I know that oftentimes you felt yourself unworthy. But I'm telling you, you are worthy. That's what we all want to hear. May God help us.